Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
Hey, Christine, welcome to the show. There's so many buttons here.
There are a lot of buttons.
All right.
And lights.
Lots of lights and buttons. It's like Christmas in here.
I was thinking more disco, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, then you've seen when I've been at your house, I wear my Disco Sucks t-shirt.
There you go.
Because I'm a rock and roller. So tell us a little bit about your background.
So I am an event planner. I have a company called CM Destinations.
And CM as in the letters, not CM, like no CM. CMs.
That's funny. I've never heard anybody say that. It's my initials. My daughter asked that the other day. She says, what's the name of your company? I'm like, it's my initials, girl. CM Destinations. But we have lots of different aspects of the company. But I kind of landed into event planning because I didn't have a choice. It's just what I do. If I worked
it's
a different
in your
day
DNA.
Job, if I worked a different job, I would end up planning people's things anyway. So just focus on it. It's what I do.
So. Right. It's like this gravitational pull, and mm-hmm. So you just went with it.
Yeah, I didn't have a choice. So
okay.
Yeah, it found me. So.
Okay. So your background. How'd you end up in Napa?
So my husband and I basically moved around the country for several years for him to become the master chef of the world, and which I think he achieved. And we ended up, after five states, ended up back in Florida where we grew up and started our own restaurants. So we ended up with three restaurants in St. Augustine, Florida. And like Alex was talking about, the recession hit and we had to struggle. Because people who own car dealerships weren't coming into dinner anymore, and people who...
Oh, the owners. We're not talking about the staff.
The
we're
owners.
Talking, the
like
owners,
people
right.
who own gigantic corporations were nowhere to be seen. So, and everyone I knew was short-selling their house. It was just a really ugly time. And it was really hard to be fine dining. That's not something people are going to keep doing when they've got no job and are selling
right.
their house. So
these were fine dining establishments. They
yes.
weren't casual.
Our baby was called Opus 39, as in the Latin for a body of art that epitomizes the artist, and 39 was our street address. It was so cool. And it was a seven-course menu that changed every day, and my husband's just a genius and never repeated anything. It was amazing. We had 450 bottles of wine, different labels that we would do by the bottle or the glass or pairing with the meal every night. And so we would come out here to find wines and get to know people, and that we'd have the winemakers come to our restaurant and do wine dinner. So a lot of our friends we have now are people we met through that years ago, back in the
nice.
Early 2000s, so, which is a lot of fun.
And after coming out here so many times to shop for wine for the restaurants in Florida, you said, wait a minute, why don't we just move here?
We literally had a conversation while we were barbecuing for Father's Day in 2010. Like, why are we working so hard? We actually like our kids. We want to see them. And so, like, what if we didn't do this? It didn't work.
You say that as though some people don't. So you must know at least one couple.
Well, I mean, some people are like, yeah, my kids are all right. But no, we really liked them. They were still in middle school and high school at the time. They were just starting, both of those. So we made the decision right there. And then we're like, oh, my gosh, did we just decide to move to California and start our lives over? And we did it. We made that decision on June 20th, and we landed here on July 31st.
Wow.
So we had to find a house to rent and get the kids in school and find jobs, and it was an adventure.
Wow.
For sure.
Good for you. Man, talk about entrepreneurial spirit and, you know,
yeah.
capitalism 101. That's what this
or
great country is about.
Or
what?
Or maybe crazy, a little
bit. No, we got to put a positive spin on that. Because,
well, I mean, I think you'd have to be a little bit crazy to be this adventurous.
True. Well, there are those that say you got to be a little bit crazy even to be an entrepreneur. So,
true.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of risk and a lot of crazy stuff that happens. So.
Right. You know, and then people talk about, oh, yeah, but you've got all this free time and, you know, you're not beholding to the man. And it's like, yeah, well, yeah, you are. And you're it. You are the man.
We've been business owners several times over, and there is nothing more busy than owning your own business.
Right.
Everything falls to you.
Okay. So did you know from an early age that you wanted to be an event planner? Was it that prevalent and that obvious that it was in your DNA?
It kind of was, yeah. My mom would plan a dinner party, and at the end of the, after the dinner party the next day, she'd have a migraine and she couldn't even function because just the stress of putting it together. And I would say, well, I can help with this and I'll do this and that. And she would say, wow, this doesn't bother you at all. You just do it. And I'm like, it's a no-brainer to me. Some people are just wired to do events and some people are not. It overwhelms them immediately.
Right.
So, and there's a lot of events that have to be planned. I mean, this is the mecca for event planning, this area.
Oh, sure.
So, which is awesome. So there's always some nonprofit or some big event and right. wineries that need events planned and friends that need events planned. And I honestly try not to do weddings anymore.
So. You know, how many event planners I've talked to that have expressed the same sentiment?
Yeah.
So
I love doing it for somebody I love.
Okay.
But when it's somebody you don't know and they don't understand what a budget is.
Right.
So, you know, for instance, my son who's getting married next year.
And I wonder who's doing the planning on that.
Not me.
Oh, really? Oh, because he's in Florida?
And it's the bride and the mother of her. It's their job. So they haven't asked me to help yet.
Okay. Oh, it's coming. It's coming.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
So I know that there are all kinds of things that can go wrong when doing an event, but do you have a story about a particular disaster that occurred?
You mean like the one that's happening this weekend and the things that are happening, fires I'm putting out right now?
Sure. Don't say fires. Not
sorry.
Not in the fall.
That's an event planner's lingo
it's a euphemism,
something
people.
I need to go take care of right now. No, nothing is on fire. I mean, there's all kinds of things that have happened. There's always somebody that drops out at the last second and you're left just freaking out. But I had an event recently that we chose the caterer for the event. And it was a casual thing. And somebody on the board of the association said, no, I don't like that caterer, even though they were fabulous. And so I said, if you don't want them, you need to cancel them. And then we went and got another caterer. So the day of the event, I'm standing there waiting for the caterer to arrive, and the one that was supposedly let go showed up.
And didn't know that.
No one, for whatever reason, didn't get the memo that he wasn't. So we had prepped food, and he was there, and I was like horrified for this guy. So a friend, a very dear friend and fabulous female that I just cannot live without, my friend Margaret, helped me, and she's like, we'll pay for it and then we'll sell it to somebody else, and the guy let us do that. So
wow,
we did. It was a last minute, how are we going to handle this? No one ever knew about it.
those are the coolest.
You never let them see you
and
sweat.
Yeah, most of the time when there's those success stories, it's like, no, the public was completely unaware. We are talking to Christine McMillan, owner of CM Destinations Event Planning, and her biggest and most current, I don't know if it's your biggest, but it's the most current right now on your radar, is this Saturday.
Yes. So I do lots of large events. This is probably the closest to my heart. So this one I do because it's my thing, my soapbox. So our Zero Prostate Cancer Run Walk Napa Valley is this Saturday, and we will be gathering on the track of Napa Valley College. And registration starts at 7:30. Everyone will gather, and by 8:30 we'll start our ceremony and start the walk at 9. So We have the Kids Dash, where the kids are the superheroes that are reminding their dads and their uncles and their brothers to get tested for prostate cancer. So they register for $20, they get a superhero cape, and then a bunch of friends from Newton's Law Fitness Gym here in town dress up as superheroes and run this 50-yard dash with them. And it's the best photo op for little kids' parents, like toddlers, tiny, 0 to 3. And I now do a second heat for the older kids, 4+, because the 9-year-olds are running over the little kids. But they have such fun, and the look on their faces that Wonder Woman is running with them
right.
is awesome.
Oh, I bet.
And so that's just my favorite part of the race. But then we start we do a ceremony to recognize our survivors, people who are still in treatment and those who have beat it, and do a remembrance for those that we have lost, which have been too many. And we have the hitting coach from the San Francisco Giants is coming to do the ceremony and pass out the hats. He is actually currently has prostate cancer as well. So
So he's currently under treatment?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so he is coming to be there and pass out the hats to each of them. We had a little ceremony with a special song for the survivors on the stage, and it's just really nice. And then we pass out these kind of Miss America sashes to their significant others, the people that are there with them, helping them through all of this spiritually and emotionally and all everything.
Right.
And I know, because I've been through it with my husband and my uncles and my grandfather and my father-in-law and my brother-in-law, who have all had prostate cancer.
No wonder it's near and dear to your heart.
It is, because my son is 23 and he's going to get it at some point. And I want to make sure that the research money is there, that somebody's going to figure out how to fix it easier before he gets there. That's my dream anyway.
I read recently that if you are a male and if you live long enough,
you will get it.
Yeah.
The key is screening. A simple blood test and an exam, and it can save your life. It saved my husband's life. So his dad and brother got diagnosed in January of 2013, and they called us to tell us this, and then we had people and friends and ourselves going, we really need to test Michael. He was 51 at the time, and had to get a baseline because we hadn't screened him previously. And as soon as you're 50, you should have already had one.
Right.
And so we had to have the test and the blood test, and then you have to wait and see if it goes up, and it did. And
how long did you wait?
3 months. They make you wait 3 months to see if the baseline is, if it's going up.
And we're talking about the PSA?
PSA test. Right, it's a simple blood test. And then, so once they and the number's not like, if you have a 7, you have cancer, and a 1, you don't. The numbers are different for every individual, so it's not a black and white thing of, this is when you have it. So when they got the results, they did a biopsy immediately, and then as soon as they got those results, they whipped him into surgery.
Wow.
So by July, he was in surgery. So it was very fast and very mind-numbing. And the only thing I could think to do is, I was looking on Brown's nextdoor.com, mm-hmm. and one of the ladies there is a grandmother, and she said, my granddaughters are planning this race for prostate cancer. And I was like, well, I'm an event planner. I can help with that. And that's something I can do.
Right.
Because I felt so out of control. I couldn't fix it for him.
Right.
But I could do something to kind of keep my mind on a positive note of it. So that was in 2013. And this is our 7th year having the race. The race was started by 3 sisters, the Mehmet sisters, whose dad was diagnosed very late with stage 4. So he was there for the first race, and the next year he died on Father's Day.
Oh, wow.
And it still breaks my heart.
Yeah.
So such a sweet, sweet family. They're amazing. So they're still doing this in memory of their dad, and they are pulling out tents and getting signs made and asking for donations and working. They have full-time jobs, too, and they do this every year and pull all their friends and family out just like I do, and we put this race on and really try to put some money towards research, but also for local patients. We've got a mentoring program, a 360 program, which helps with you've got trouble paying for those medicines, especially the ones that are they're still testing. So we have a lot of help we can give to local people, and then we help the Martin O'Neill Cancer Center up at St. Helena Hospital. So they are a sponsor of ours. We also have helped them by donating money to them to buy specific pieces of equipment that help with the treatment, because they're the only place in Napa County that has an actual treatment center for prostate cancer specifically.
The only place in the whole county.
You can have, there's other doctors that do things in their office and they have the surgery, they can do it at any hospital, but this is an actual center just for treating prostate cancer up there.
Wow.
It's amazing. And the people up there are just fabulous, because we've been working with them for several years now.
So how successful are the events that you do each year? I mean, are you raising good levels of funds for them?
I mean, we're not the Napa Valley, you know, auction.
Right. Or festival.
We're just
yeah,
a couple of volunteers right, doing this thing, you know. But we raised the most money ever last year, which in the end was $107,000. And we were just tickled with ourselves of how well we did. And then later that afternoon, I went to the Staglin event where they raised money for mental health. And they're like, we raised $5 million so far today. And I was like, oh,
man.
Deflated.
I'm here. Can I like get 10% of that?
Could you just throw me some of that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was like, I'm not the Staglin. I don't have their reach, but
right.
So I'm super impressed with what they do.
But
I was kind of like, I walk in all puffed up and I was like, oh,
right. Well, then, maybe I hope that some of the people on the Napa chapter of Norbar, who we throw a golf tournament every year, and I don't think we've eclipsed 50,000 ever. So this year, possibly, and we have the we're still counting the money kind of a situation.
Yeah.
So, but 107,000, that is really outstanding.
You can spend a lot of money putting an event on and just go through all the motion and have a silent auction and a live auction, all these raffles and all these things and sponsors, and not make any money. I mean, you really can just do so much and then end up spending everything on putting it on, because
right,
it's not cheap. So that's a huge, I've seen people for the first time do a golf tournament trying to raise money for something and lose money.
Oh yeah.
So making anything is impressive, especially the first year. And then you learn, you need more sponsors.
Yes. And more auction items, or and really, it's the sponsors where most of the money comes from. It's not the participants, correct?
Yeah, most of it is coming from you want the enrollment, the registration money to be kind of the gravy, and you've got sponsors that are covering the DJ and the and then even get the DJ to donate most of it, and then the stage and the equipment, and all of that has to be, if not fully donated, partially donated, and either by from the company that's doing it or from somebody else who's saying, I'll be a sponsor, put my name on this banner, and I'll help you pay for that. So, and without that, you're going to lose your shirt. So,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I do, I mean, I've got lots of different events that I do, and most of them are for nonprofits. But, I mean, I've done birthday parties and crazy things. I used to plan a conference for the Army every year. That was in the southeast area of the country, and it was a lot of fun. It's like me and 350 IT guys that work for the Army all over the world would come together every May and
wow,
talk about where was the biggest threat. And this is back before 2001, so the biggest threat was, you know, hackers and China and people in the Army trying to prove that they could hack something. And it was like super interesting, and I learned a lot.
What a party group, the IT people from
the
U.S. Army.
They were the biggest gentlemen ever. They were so nice. They were really, really good guys. So.
No tail hook scandal.
No,
for
not
good,
even a little bit. No, they were absolutely fabulous. And then I used to play in a big conference every year for the Catholic Church, too. So, I mean, I've done things all over the country and different areas, different locations. And
one of the things that I have learned that I just think is so cool about our community of event planners is that it's very collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
And event planner A might have landed the contract for such and such an event, but that doesn't mean that he or she is going to do that all on their own.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, you know, big borrow steal and just share the events. And I think
That's
just really cool. It's almost like it's taking the Robert Mondavi collaborative aspect of winemaking and bring it in into
sharing
the
information.
Planning. Yeah.
We just like Mondavi said.
Sharing resources to a certain extent.
When you discover something, you share it with everyone so we can all benefit. If we find a really good resource, whether it's a vendor or finding the best rental place that has a good price and everything shows up clean. Like, I'm going to share that information.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause that's a tough thing to deal with every time. But, yeah, I work with a lot of different, especially when people ask me about weddings, I send them right over to my friend, Laura.
Well, I know
Extraordinary Weddings, Laura Albee. She's awesome.
That's good. Cause don't send them to Michaela. Cause she didn't want them either.
She didn't want them either. No, Laura's amazing. So, and you know, there's, like I said, if it's a real dear friend, I'll help out with it. But and I plan several weddings in this county, but okay. It's not my focus. And I do have one of the events that I do have coming up is a fundraiser for News for the Napa Emergency Women's Shelter.
Okay.
So I have a fashion show coming up on October 5th. It's a Saturday from 12:30 to 2:30. It'll be held at the Churchill Manor on those beautiful rose garden lined lawn that Joanna has. And we've got a fashion show by Boho Lifestyle. And so wine will be poured by a couple different wineries. And we will have a little tiny silent auction, but mostly it's all about seeing the fashion for fall. And it's going to be a nice sunny afternoon, so we're inviting everyone it's a $25 ticket. All that money goes directly to News. Everything else has been donated.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a neat event, so I hope everybody wants to go to that. You can go to Eventbrite and look for Boho Lifestyle Fashion Show.
B-O-H-O.
Lifestyle.
Is, in case there was any question of how to spell Boho.
Boho.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like a real word, so I thought I'd just go ahead and throw it out there for the spelling. It's not like a B-E-A-U.
No, not the French spelling, no. Regular so tell old us, Boho.
Tell us about the race, because when the race is on Saturday, mm-hmm. and when people think of a race, they think of a half marathon or a marathon, or they think of some kind of a sprint, but you're going to be on the track. And I would imagine that not everyone's going to be running.
No, actually, it starts on the track. So the race begins on the Napa Valley track. You kind of go two-thirds of the way around it, and then you get onto the Kennedy Park path. Go through Kennedy Park, and then you get I think that's the Vine Trail.
That goes
along Saw School and gets almost to 3rd Street. So you can do the one-mile walk, which a lot of our patients do that. And then you can do the 5K, which gets to just about where the kitties and puppies are walked, there behind the movie theater. Hartle Court, yeah.
Yeah.
So right about there is where the 5K turnaround is.
Okay.
And then if you're doing the 10K, you get almost to 3rd Street and turn around and come back.
Okay.
And then when everyone returns, the DJ's going, of course. We have tacos, breakfast tacos by Taco Addiction that are completely donated. God bless them. And we
have Taco Addiction.
Yes.
I mean, it's a business name. I'm not cheering.
I also have an
addiction
to tacos. I do. I will confess to that. My name is Christine. I have a taco addiction. And there is a kids zone where we have Book Mine is going to come and read books to the kids. We have face painting. There's not a jumpy house, but a jumpy sports little thing where they get to play on. We have cars coming out from European Collection and from Kastner Honda.
Nice.
So you come out and see some brand new cars you might want to buy. We have different medical, pharmaceutical people that are there to give information and tips about prostate cancer. Of course, the Advent Health from St. Helena Hospital, they'll be there to talk about current things going on, screening, great new advancements in technology for treatment. So, and some a couple of the doctors will be there for Ask a Doc. And then it's just a lot of fun. We have a lot of vendors and a lot of people. So they'll be in the middle of the field of the track.
On the football field.
On the football field. And we just use like one half of it. And then there's a live silent auction and a raffle. And in the raffle, which I know I'm technically supposed to say, use some other word for that by law. But anyway, there's blah, blah, blah.
We can't.
There are these items
out.
You can buy a ticket for and possibly get. And
we don't refer to it as a raffle.
Yes,
it's a donation.
Some donation per chance or something.
That
I don't know what it's called.
You might win, you might not.
But in that, we have, drum roll, tickets to Disneyland, and we have several bats, cleats, and hats signed by players from the Giants, the San Francisco Giants. We have some amazing things in this. We have a Kindle not my friend Kendall, also the Kindle, you can actually use the reading thing. my friend Kendall is the volunteer coordinator, so.
is she the one giving the winner of the Kindle?
I think we have to. I think she has to present
that.
A Kindle from Kindle. Right. So there you go. She's amazing, by the way. Love her. And so there are all these fabulous things in the raffle and then a little silent auction. So I'm trying to figure out what the actual value of a bat signed by a current player is worth. So that's fun.
Well, yeah, because a signed bat by a major league ball player depends on if he's above or below the Mendoza line, or if he's a candidate for the Hall of Fame, or if he just got called up, or a whole lot of variables.
These are all names that you know for sure.
Okay.
You know these names.
You don't want to tease with one of the names?
I'd have to remember.
So she's not holding out on us. She just doesn't have that information right in front of her.
My
right
brain
now.
Is filled with so many things right now. I should have that. I'll look it up and see if I can find it for you while we're talking.
That's entirely okay. So, Christine, it's been wonderful having you on the show, and we thank you for what you are doing for our community and our listeners. If you need an event planner, or if you know someone who needs an event planner, now you know one personally, because you just
Absolutely.
Got to know Christine. And it's not too late to sign up for the Zero Prostate Cancer Run. And how might they do that?
You can go to zerocancer.org, very simply, /Napa. When you go to zerocancer.org, it'll say find a race. And you just put in our zip code, and it'll pop right up and to give you the link to either register for one of the parts of the race, 5K, 10K, whatever, or you can snooze for dudes, where you get a t-shirt and you sleep in that morning and you raise money for cancer. Get a really cool t-shirt.
There should be thousands of people that are doing that.
I know. I think all of my relatives should have bought a shirt by now across the country that can't be here,
Right.
So you can donate money straight away, or you can get a t-shirt or sign up to come in and join us. We always need volunteers. I'm sure that Kendall could use 10 more volunteers. It is a really fun, family-oriented day. We have a great time. We get out there about 7 a.m. and we'll be done by 11 at the latest, but we have a really good time, and you will get fed bagels and coffee and tacos and all kinds of other things. Clif bars we've got donated. There's so much food this year.
Wonderful. Hey, one thing I want to mention before we have to wrap it up is, when you have a Dine and Donate, you guys do it right, because all you got to do is write zero mm-hmm. on the receipt, and that indicates to the restaurant that percentage of proceeds, 15, 20%, whatever it is, mm-hmm. goes to
zero prostate.
And the other folks, they have these, you got to bring in the flyer. And
that
it's
is decided by the restaurant. The restaurant decides that. They're the ones that say, you have to bring this flyer to prove to me you brought this person in and you didn't just tell them when they walked in.
Wow. All right.
I get, but...
Well, that is all the time that we have. Thank you very much, Christine, with CM Destinations. Reach out to me, Lee W. Miller, for information on how to reach her. And until next week, remember to live your life like your legacy matters, because it does. We'll talk to you next week, folks.